Thank you, Ian. Those were verses from Psalm 90, which you can find on page 599 in the Bibles. Ian read to us the lovely Tyndale translation, which is in the Book of Common Prayer, and it's got a real muscular poetry to it. So, we are deep into our series in the Psalms, and we've got about 3 weeks left. We're leaving book one of the Psalms now and branching out into the rest of the Psalter. And what we're going to be doing these last 3 weeks is dropping into some different examples of what the book of Psalms contains to round out our picture of this wonderful book. So we're stepping into book four this week, as you can see from the heading if you've got your Bible open. Book four has only 17 Psalms in it, nearly all of which could be seen as best suited to public worship. One clue about the difference between these Psalms and the ones we've been looking at from book one is that most of them say we have seen this, or we pray for that. Whereas in book one, it was nearly always I saw this, I desire that. You could imagine singing these psalms in church. And in fact, we often have. Psalm 95, for instance, is called the Venite and used to be recited by Anglicans every week as part of morning prayer or matins. And there is a theory, unproven but quite attractive to me, that these 17 psalms were collected together to be used on one particular festival in Jewish worship, the Feast of Tabernacles. And Tabernacles is about two things. One is celebrating the Exodus, Israel's defining event. And the other is celebrating the harvest, because it happened at this time of year. It was an 8-day-long festival. And one of the things that the Israelites were required to do was to camp out. So they would build themselves a tabernacle or a booth. And they had to roof it with branches, but not perfectly. They had to be able to see the stars through their roof. And they would sleep out at night in this booth for a week. And that was a way of remembering the fact that their ancestors had lived in tents for 40 years as they traveled through the wilderness. And the other thing, of course, as I said, is the fact that it was a celebration of thanksgiving for God's provision of the harvest, for another year's food and another year's opportunity to live and serve God. So 17 psalms in this book gives you 2 psalms a day for every day of the festival, plus one to kick the whole thing off. And if you read these psalms, you can see plenty of references back to the events of the Exodus and those years of wandering in the wilderness. And there's also plenty of thanksgiving as all creation is summoned to worship God. So it's the kickoff psalm that we're looking at today. It's attributed to Moses. You can see it says here at the beginning, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. And perhaps he did write it, or wrote it in its original form, but it's likely that it's been changed, rewritten, edited, added to since. It falls into 3 parts. Verses 1 to 6, which declare God's greatness and our insignificance by comparison. Then verses 7 to 11, when those thoughts of human weakness turn into lament. And then the final section, the last 6 verses, consist of 6 prayers that, remembering our condition, we may live as faithfully as possible. So let's look briefly at those 3 sections, shall we? Verses 1 to 6, first of all. The psalm begins with praise, doesn't it? God, you have been our home forever and ever. Does that seem a strange idea? Making God your home, your dwelling place? Well, Psalm 91 takes that idea and runs with it. That whole psalm is a meditation on resting in the shelter of God. And it says, if you say the Lord is my refuge and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. But back in Psalm 90, the writer is preoccupied with how old God is. You have been our dwelling place through all generations, before the world was made, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. And then he remembers how young we are. Our lives are so brief, over in a flash. Like grass that grows up green in the morning, but by evening is dry and withered. Why is this? The psalmist wonders. Why are our lives so short? 70 years? Is that it? When I was young, I thought that was absolutely ages. But now, it seems scarily close. And some of us are getting into extra time. And to keep the football analogy going, my mum is definitely into penalties. But to quote Deuteronomy 34, verse 7, Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak nor his strength gone. That's one reason, perhaps, why this psalm wasn't written by Moses. So what's the answer to this question? Why is God so old and we die so young? And the answer given here in verses 7 to 11 is that God is angry with us. He's angry because of our sin. And if we really understood the depth of God's wrath, it would make us take our sin more seriously. As verse 11 says, who knows the power of your anger? Your wrath is as great as the fear that is due to you. We don't like to dwell on this aspect of God's character. We prefer to focus on his love and mercy. Probably because we've seen far too many examples of powerful people using anger to coerce and control others. We find it hard to imagine how to use anger as a force for good. But the Bible writers have no problems imagining God as someone whose anger was never out of control. This very psalm begins with imagining God as our dwelling place, our home. No one wants to live inside a volcano of rage, do they? So don't read the word anger and immediately think of intemperate human rage. This is something else, something that we humans cannot consistently control. So the section, the middle section, 7 to 11. Yes, it's focusing on God's anger, but that is to point out to us the reason why we deserve it, that we've turned away from God, that we've fallen short. And as a result, our lives are short. So, God is our home, God from everlasting, human short-lived, under God's anger because of our sin. Where does this end? Answer, in prayer. We enter the third section with a prayer that God would teach us. And what's he going to teach us? Verse 12, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. And that doesn't mean, you know, count how old you are. It means a little bit more than that. It means to take each day seriously. Since we know our lives are limited, let's not waste a day. Let's find something to do today that will glorify God. Don't leave it until tomorrow, because one day, tomorrow won't come for you. And those things on the to-do list will never get crossed off. So do the important ones while there's still time. Tell your family you love them. Find a way to talk to your neighbours about Jesus. give some time, some money, some effort into the kingdom of heaven's cause. And the other prayers that close out the psalm are prayers for God to turn from his anger and show a smiling face, to give us reasons to rejoice, and to make our deeds worth something. I love the final prayer in particular. May the favour of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Our little lives may be over in a flash, but may the good that we do in this short time matter all the way into eternity. Amen.